Welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians in social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. We hope you enjoy today's podcast.
Well, I would love to welcome everyone to today's audio conference workshop entitled Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind, Utilizing Rational Emotive Behavioral Therapy. It's going to be led by Dr. Irma Ballinger, Senior Lecturer and Director of Field Education in Advanced Practice at Baylor University School of Social Work in Waco, Texas. This conference will provide an overview of the theory and primary purpose of rational emotive behavior therapy and key considerations for applying the situational ABCE model of REBT. This model has been highly effective in helping individuals become healthier emotionally, behaviorally, and cognitively by changing the way they think about self, others, and the world. Now, without any further ado, I'm delighted to present our speaker for today, Dr. Irma Ballinger. Irma, it's all yours.
Greetings, everyone. I am delighted to have the opportunity to share with you about rational emotive behavioral therapy. We have five objectives that we'd like to achieve today. The first is discuss how biblical principles inform a cognitive perspective. The second, describe the REBT approach to problem solving. The third, identify features of rational and irrational beliefs. The fifth, discuss demandingness, the qualities of emotional behavior and thought disturbance, and the derivatives of demandingness. And the fifth, explain the significance of the belief consequence, the BC connection, in the situational ABCDEF model of REBT. And we'll talk a little bit about the expansion of the ABC model as we go through the presentation. First off, I'd like to amplify that REBT was developed by Albert Ellis. Ellis was really against the orthodoxy of the day, the emphasis on psychoanalytic theory, the very slow pace of therapy. And he introduced rational approach to therapy, and this new model appeared to help his clients and to do so in a very efficient way. He chose to focus on clinical work and teaching and writing. He did not spend a tremendous amount of time in expansive research or treatment outcome studies, and that has been a challenge for REBT in that it has shown in small studies that it is very effective. And more research, of course, is being done to support the data that has come through anecdotal studies and smaller studies. Ellis is considered the grandfather of cognitive behavior therapy. In 1982, through a survey of U.S. and Canadian psychologists, Ellis was ranked as the second most influential psychotherapist in history, second only to, at that time, Carl Rogers. And he was the second most cited author. Some Christians have been concerned about REBT because Ellis was an atheist. And what I want to say is that one can retain his or her own religious beliefs and still practice REDT. That much of the philosophy and most rational beliefs are consistent with religious ideas. And it is possible to utilize the client's religion or the Bible in support of rational thinking and healthy behavioral change. The Bible reflects that God used ordinary people. People who had a variety of beliefs to achieve his purpose. So the REBT therapist can help clients focus on the rational part of their religion. Some of the philosophical underpinnings of REBT include statements like men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them, the views they take of those things. Epictetus is the philosopher that is noted for that statement. Another is, the happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts. Marcus Aurelius. And so the emphasis is that REBT grows out of and actively utilizes strong philosophical underpinnings. Disturbance, according to REBT, is largely, not completely, a function of the perceptions, the evaluations, the attitudes, the meanings, the expectations that the individual has toward life events. And these are a component of our personal philosophies. Scripture exhorts to challenge the way we think. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are admonished to not adapt totally to the world, but we are to think differently, and we can be transformed by the way we think. And in that, we can come to know God's will and experience acceptable behavior in this world system. Another scripture, Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The scripture is full of verses about thoughts and the mind. So rational thinking, or the cognitive school of thought, fits in very well with scripture. REB theory. It is practical, it's action-oriented, and it's very useful for solving problems and supporting emotional growth. REBT emphasizes that the individual has the capacity for creating his or her own emotions, has the ability to change behavior and to overcome And what the individual can overcome are the disturbances that are happening in the present that are fueled by disturbances from the past. Individuals have the power to choose and to implement satisfying alternatives by modifying the way they think and, of course, influencing different emotions and hopefully more functional behaviors. REBT has a complex, interactional, and holistic view of the ABCs of human personality and of disturbance. It holds that activating events, and this is really a critical description of the ABCs of REBT, it holds that activating events, A's, in people's lives contribute to their emotional and behavioral disturbances or consequences, the C's, largely because they are influenced by the beliefs about the activating event at A. The cognitive school of thought, or rational approach, focuses on thinking and holds that the principal determinants of emotions, of motives, of behavior are a result of the way we think. It is a conscious process. The seven principles of REBT are: cognition is the most important determinant of human emotion. Irrational thinking is the major determinant of emotional distress. The most effective way to conquer emotional distress is to change irrational thinking. And multiple factors, including genetic and environmental influences, are antecedents to irrational thinking. And of course, we want to emphasize that culture shapes the specific content of what we believe. We feel what we think. Events and other people do not make us feel good or bad. REBT holds that we do it to ourselves. We literally write our emotional scripts. We are not conscious of doing so all the time. Past and present events contribute to how we think, but they do not cause us to feel any particular feeling or act in any particular way. If emotions related to a negative event exist to signal to people that they may have a problem that requires attention and action. Emotions related to a negative event exist to signal to people that they may have a problem that requires attention and action. And in REBT, two types of emotions are identified. The first type is healthy negative emotions, which are abbreviated HNES, and these are helpful, functional, and adaptive emotions. And the second type is unhealthy negative emotion, And an unhealthy negative emotion would be unhelpful, dysfunctional, and maladaptive. HNES are related to rational thinking, and UNES are related to irrational thinking. Rational beliefs are changed to irrational beliefs or changed to rational beliefs by active and persistent effort to recognize, to challenge, and revise one's thinking to behave against the negative or irrational beliefs. A sixth principle emphasizes that present proximal influences on emotions and behaviors are most important rather than historical influences on emotion and behavior. Basically, people maintain their emotional and behavioral disturbance by continued rehearsal of the thing through a process of self-indoctrination. And the seventh principle is beliefs can be changed, although such change will not be easy. It requires active, persistent effort. So, the purpose and goal of REBT: help clients replace demandingness philosophies, which are full of musts, shoulds, have-tos, ought-tos, with more flexible ones. Help clients accept that all human beings are fallible. Help clients increase frustration tolerance as opposed to frustration or low frustration tolerance. And the goal is to replace irrational beliefs with rational beliefs, to reduce the unhealthy negative emotions and replace them with healthy negative emotions. So to amplify irrational and irrational beliefs, irrational beliefs block efforts to achieve goals, to achieve our goals. Irrational beliefs are rigid, they're dogmatic, they're illogical, and inconsistent with reality. Rational beliefs give opportunity to achieve our goals. They're flexible. One can consider alternative views. They're logical, and they are consistent with reality. Irrational beliefs, again, are associated with unhealthy negative emotions or disturbed emotions, and the unhealthy negative emotions for REBT are emotions like depression, anxiety, hurt, anger, guilt, problematic jealousy, problematic envy, and with those disturbed emotions, oftentimes what will be the outcome will be dysfunctional, self-defeating behaviors, such as procrastination, addiction, withdrawal. With irrational beliefs, we will find healthy negative emotions, and these emotions are functional. They're functional, but negative emotions. For example, if there is a deep personal loss. One would feel sad. That allows the person to continue to think and to move forward toward his or her goals. However, if the person is depressed and stuck in a deep state of depression, then we will see other behavioral outcomes. So, functional but negative emotions would include emotions such as frustration, annoyance, sadness, concern, and the corresponding behaviors would likely be behaviors that are more functional and self-preserving. I'd like to have you think about the cognitive model for just a minute. And the cognitive model is composed of three elements: the cognitive triad, cognitive distortions, and schema. These three constitute the mechanisms in forming and maintaining disorders. The cognitive triad refers to the client's accumulated thoughts about self, about others, about the world, life, and the future. And it is believed that virtually all clients' problems can be subsumed under one or some combination of these areas. Cognitive distortions are idiosyncratic views of life, of others, of self, and they occur spontaneously, often referred to as automatic thoughts or inferences. And these distortions may be positive or negative. Schema. And these are pervasive. They are the core beliefs that one holds about self, about others, and the world. For example, I must succeed. My spouse should know how I feel. The world has to accommodate my vision for change. And if these things don't happen, even though they are a preference, it's as if the world will come to an end, or I can't stand it, or it's just awful. So we come to... Yes.
Irma? Yes. I just wanted to suggest, do you want to maybe just take a minute to see if there are any questions or comments based on the material you've presented so far? Would this be a natural break to do that?
That would be fine, yes.
Okay. So for anyone who'd like to make a comment, again, just hit *6 on your telephone pad, or you can type in a message on the chat screen to the left of the webinar portion of today's session.
Rick, would you please read the questions, because I'm having problems with my computer here?
You bet. If there's any chat that comes up, I'll make sure to read it for you.
Sure. Thank you.
So would anyone like to offer a question or a comment? Again, *6 on your telephone pad.
Hello. Would you please repeat the three elements of the cognitive model? I have triad, distortion, and I had trouble hearing the third one.
Schema, S-C-A-G-M-A.
Oh, schema. Okay, thank you.
Yes. The core belief that surrounds demandingness and an absolutist belief about whatever the situation or the circumstance is.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Questions or comments for Irma? And Starva on your telephone? Go ahead.
This is Mark. What is the success on PTSD?
Well, the research is, the formal research is still being developed. In anecdotal support for REBT, it has been as successful as the cognitive therapy by Aaron Beck through some of the other forms of trauma-based therapy, highly utilized in some form at VA. And has shown to be very effective in application.
Thank you.
And any other questions or comments before Irma continues? Okay, Irma, I did see one question typed in. From Arlene, I'm confused about the difference between the cognitive model and the cognitive triad. This has to do with question 10. Difference between cognitive model and cognitive triad.
The cognitive model is constituted of three elements, which include cognitive triad, cognitive distortions, and schema. So the overall model, cognitive model, has these three components. And within the cognitive triad, you have absolutist beliefs about self, others, and the world. Those elements are components of the cognitive triad.
Terrific. Thanks, Irma. Any follow-up on that? Okay. At that point, last call for any questions or comments, and then we'll move on. Nope, Arlene. Irma, Arlene said thank you. So Irma, why don't we move on forward?
Thank you, Rick. And I do apologize for the problems I've had with the phone and with my computer today. We're at the slide that talks about the REBT, situational ABC, cornerstone of REBT. Basically, the cornerstone, and this is mentioned early on as we were giving the overall philosophy of REBT, there were just three components, the A, the activating event or activity, and then slash adversity, and we'll talk a little bit about that, belief, the B, and C, consequences, which have to do with the emotions, the behaviors, and the physiological happenings that result. An illustration of ABC is a boyfriend breaks off a 2-year relationship. He walked away from everything The client says that he walked away from everything we had together. And so the irrational belief, the first part of it is, I can't live without him. I have to get him to come back to me. So this, if you'll note, there is a faulty belief in the I can't, which is frustration intolerance. I can't live without him. And it goes on to show a demandingness. I have to get him to come back to me. Now, in reality, when A happens, when life shows up, what the person experiences is the C. Even though we identify the model as A, B, C, what typically happens that gets the person's attention will be the emotional disturbance, sometimes the dysfunctional behavior, but most often the emotional disturbance, which will be, in this case, depression. And so the behavior associated with this is this client begins withdrawing from everyone, from people. And then there is an A2 as a result of withdrawing from everyone. Person begins to think that there is something wrong with me. I am a loser. Everybody avoids me. And the consequence, in this case, the emotion, which is an unhealthy negative emotion, just as depression was an unhealthy negative emotion, is that of shame. Okay, so there is a diagram called it's cognition influencing emotional disturbance. And at A, life shows up. B, there is the emotional disturbance. And in this case, we're using the example of anxiety. However, there was a perception of that event, an automatic thought about that event, and a negative attribution of that event. So, if we think about irrational beliefs, there are usually four, according to RBT, that we think about. And that is demandingness, which is the core irrational belief, the awfulizing of the event, which is a derivative of demandingness, global evaluation of self, which is, again, a derivative of demandingness, and frustration intolerance. The awfulizing, it's awful, it's terrible, it's horrible. It's like the end of the world. Global evaluation of self, others in the world. I'm awful, they're awful, the world is a rotten place to be. And the frustration intolerance. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. It's too hard. It's too difficult to deal with. So this reflects cognition influencing emotional disturbance, the demandingness, the derivatives, influencing perception, automatic thought, negative attribution, and then what we have is the emotional disturbance, that all of this is related to the activating event that showed up. So REBT, the cornerstone, has been expanded to A, B, C, D, E, and F. So again, A is the activating event or the adversity. The IB is how you think about or evaluate the event, the irrational belief of the message, the unhelpful dysfunctional belief. And sometimes we don't use the word belief, but the meaning that the person gives to the activating event, the expectations that the person has about the activating event. And then C represents the consequences or feelings resulting from the message at the belief level. So the responses could be at an emotional level, a behavioral level, a physiological level. Do we want to pause for a question here, Rick, to see if everybody's tracking with me?
That sounds good. So again, anyone who'd like to make a comment or ask a question, hit star 6 on your pad. Irma, when you were speaking before, one of the participants, Jen, asked if you could talk a little bit about, explain the referent for REBT.
Okay, rational emotive behavioral therapy.
Jan, can you just type in quickly if that got to your question? And while she's doing that, again, anyone else who'd like to ask a question or make a comment? Irma, Jan saying that you got it. Anyone else? Again, star 6 on your phone. Please go on ahead. Was that someone making a comment? Okay. So going once, going twice. Any question or comment at this point? Okay, Irma, sounds like everyone's with you.
Okay, wonderful. D, disputation, represents the disputing arguments you use to attack the irrational belief, the irrational meaning, the irrational expectation. E, effective rational belief, represents the answers you have developed to the questions regarding the rationality of your irrational belief, your self-message. And F, functional, represents major functional, healthy, emotion, and adaptive, helpful behaviors.
Is there
a question? Hello? Is there a question?
I think someone who asked a question earlier perhaps hasn't muted him or herself.
Sorry.
That's okay. They just need to hit star 6 and they can mute themselves. But I think it's just background noise from their line.
Okay, thank you. Unhealthy negative emotions and healthy negative emotions. If there is a threat to the personal demand, an unhealthy or an irrational belief would be possibly an underestimation of one's ability to cope. An unhealthy negative emotion would be something like anxiety. A rational belief would be a more realistic assessment of one's ability to cope. And a healthy negative emotion would be that of concern. In another domain, loss with the implication for the future, or failure, an unhealthy, irrational belief, an irrational belief would be to see only negative aspects of the loss or the failure. The unhealthy negative emotion might be depression. And an alternative rational belief would be to be able to see a light of hope or the paradox. And a healthy negative emotion would be that of sadness or disappointment as opposed to depression and hopelessness. Another adversity would be others treat you badly and you think you do not deserve the treatment. An irrational belief would be to see self as alone and uncared for. An unhealthy negative emotion would be hurt. An alternative, more rational belief would be the ability to see self, the situation, more positively. And the healthy negative emotion would be that of sorrow. Still able to move forward and lean into one's goal. So, with REBT, oftentimes a client who presents for treatment will want to begin with a practical solution. That is, do something, help me figure out what to do about the environment, the situation, or the other person. And REBT says, first, you go for an emotional solution, and when emotions are more functional, then it is easier to move toward a practical solution of the problem. So, in REBT, clients often want to change the activating event, which again is the practical solution. The emotion solution is changing the emotional and cognitive reaction to the activating event. And this is, again, how REBT suggests you proceed. It's important to emphasize self-defeating thoughts, to be aware of those. The major core self-defeating thought or belief is that of masturbatory statements. Must, have to, ought to, should. So you're asked to look for masturbatory statements. And the rest of the self-defeating thoughts are considered derivatives of that masturbatory statement. So again, look for awfulizing. Look for the disease they call I can't stand it-itis, or the low frustration tolerance. Look for damnations of self or others, and look for always and never thinking. These are major self-defeating thoughts, with the core being demandingness or masturbatory statements. I'm sorry? Is there a question?
I think it's just feedback from one unmuted participant, Irma, so you can carry on.
Okay. Again, I'm emphasizing the must because that's core to REBT. Demand about self, I must, whatever, or I am a rotten person. And that could lead to anxiety, depression, shame, guilt, problematic anger, problematic envy, jealousy, demands about others. You must, or you deserve wrath and punishment. And of course, that can lead to unhealthy, negative emotions such as anger, rage, violent emotions, passive-aggressive behaviors. And then demands about the world or life conditions. Life, the world must, or it's awful. And that leads to self-pity, hurt, problems with self-discipline. So demanding this is critical in applying REBT. Understanding demandingness is critical in applying REBT. So ways that, a couple of ways that you can apply REBT in the disputation phase is that of using Socratic questioning. Asking, what evidence do you have to support this belief? How strongly do you believe this? On a scale of 0 to 100 or 0 to 10, where does your belief fall? Where do other people's beliefs fall who have experienced similar circumstances? How does this thought affect how you feel and how you act? When you have felt differently in the past, what would you have said about this thought? Or another one is, if you told a close friend about this thought, what would your friend say to you? So, using Socratic questioning. Non-Socratic questioning, examples would be, why are you being so hard on yourself? You say you're a total loser. Would a total loser have accomplished all the things you did this week? Another technique would be the downward arrow technique. Helps the client take captive, casual thoughts and uncover core beliefs. The process: identify a situation which triggered an unhealthy negative emotion, for example, depression or guilt, and then you uncover the negative automatic thought or inference, that initial hot thought, and then you ask what this situation says about you, others, and or the world. And you continue to ask the question or questions until you get to a conclusive or masturbatory statement. You want to hear, and you want the person to hear the demandingness, the absolute demand that's being made in their thinking about the situation and their ability to change and move forward. So, D is disputation. Disputes the irrational, unhelpful, dysfunctional belief. So you want to request concrete examples. Have your client give you a concrete, specific, situational example. Then you want to identify the C, of course, the consequence, the emotional disturbance or the behavioral disturbance. And then you restate the irrational belief, and then you're ready to dispute that irrational belief. How helpful is it holding to this belief? Where is holding this belief getting you? What is the evidence? Where is the logic? How does it follow a preference? And so you might use a story or humor or a metaphor. So I think you also received a REBT self-help form, one that I adapted from the Ellis Institute. Is that correct?
Irma, that information was available on the webpage where links to your point, et cetera, were available. So if anyone has not gone to that page to access it, feel free to email me at info@necsw.org, and I can either provide you a link to that or give that to you as an email attachment. Thanks, Irma. Sorry to cut in.
Okay, no, that's fine. I was hoping to have a response to that question, so that's very, very helpful. It would be helpful if you had the form before you, because it outlines the process for applying the REBT model. And I will walk through
Irma,
it.
Irma, would you like me to take it and call that up on screen?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay, just give me 30 seconds. Okay, Irma, I do have it up on the screen.
Okay, thank you.
This you is will challenge our in a small font.
Oh, okay. Well, I will do my best to amplify as we go along. This is the form that is used at the Ellis Institute. Well, a form similar to this is used at the Ellis Institute. It was not, the form at the Institute was not organized for me in a way that was most useful, so I reorganized the form, and I've shared it with the director and the instructors at Ellis Institute. And the comment was, gosh, this is more representative of the model that as we teach it. So I am choosing to use the form. The first is, again, the activating event or adversity. And oftentimes, the activating event represents just situations, how life shows up, and the outcome is an emotional disturbance or behavioral disturbance. The adversity is oftentimes referred to as the critical A, what I was most disturbed about. It is a thought about what happened at A, that activating event. Okay? So, and this is a shortened form of the process because you would build rapport with the client and, you know, you would spend some time connecting, tuning in, and then you would move into trying to identify the problem. So briefly summarize the situation as objectively as possible. So you'd ask, what would you like to work on today? Which of these problems do you want to work on? Because the problems are not going to be probably presented in a neat package, and so you'll need to help the client prioritize the problem. The critical A, still under in that box, what I was most disturbed about. And so what are you most, C, consequence, disturbed about when A happens? So this then becomes a thought, an automatic thought that pops up. An example is the client says, my wife and I disagreed about something. That's the A. The critical A is the client believes that she criticized me badly. And in this example, there is a thought of associated with low frustration tolerance. The client feels somewhat threatened by the spouse's criticism. So you have a threat, and the emotional response is that of anxiety. So we move then to C, the consequences. The major functional, unhealthy, negative emotion or feeling, and that is when A happens, what or how do you feel? What is the unhealthy negative emotion? And I just shared with you in that example that for this client, the UNE, the unhealthy negative emotion, was that of anxiety. And you will also want to check to see if there is a maladaptive, unhelpful behavior or action tendencies that occurred. When A happens, what do you do? Is a question that you might ask. According to REBT, when you find that unhealthy negative emotion, it is important to check to see if there is a meta emotion. Is there emotion about the emotion that could be more disturbing to the client? So you would ask a question about when the person is feeling anxious, what other feelings might he or she experience, or in this case, he experience. And if you get a meta emotion, then you'd want to check with the client to see which of the emotions would he like to work on. On the self-help form, the dysfunctional negative emotions are included: anxiety / fear, shame, embarrassment, rage, anger, guilt, depression, problematic jealousy, problematic envy, and hurt. Because we are, I want to be able to entertain questions, I'm going to just have you look down at the bottom of the page, and I think you will also see some of the more healthy negative emotions, such as concern, disappointment, healthy anger, annoyance, remorse, regret, sadness, healthy concern for relationship, healthy envy, and sorrow. So ultimately, that is the goal. That's where you would want to take the client through the process. However, before we get to that, we then need to take a look at the beliefs that are operating here, the irrational, unhealthy, dysfunctional beliefs. And the adversity again, she criticized me badly, I can't stand it, it's terrible, she must not criticize me, getting to the demandingness, the must not criticize me. So to identify irrational beliefs, look for, again, those demands, the must, absolute oughts, the awfulizing and catastrophizing, the frustration tolerance, the self-downing, other downing, or life downing. So once you identify, you get to the core belief and its derivatives, then you can set the target problem. And, of course, that target problem will be around the C, or the emotional disturbance. Okay, you want to be able to reduce the anxiety. So the disputation, debate your irrational, unhealthy, dysfunctional beliefs. Dispute the must. Get a concrete example. Have something very recent, vivid, typical. ask what the emotional disturbance and what the behavioral disturbances are, and what is the motivation to change, and state the client's preference versus the must. For example, the client has said, must not criticize me. But the preference is, it is highly preferable to the client, it's highly preferable, the client is speaking to me, that my spouse never criticizes me. You want to be able to get the client to the point of, she absolutely must not criticize me. You want to get the client to the point that the client can absolutely see the preference and eliminate the must. It would be preferable if she did not criticize me. The world would not come to an end if she does criticize me. So the E, the effective rational response, might be, I do not want her to criticize me, but that does not mean she must not do so, which is a flexible preference. I will be concerned, I'll probably be annoyed, but it's not the end of the world if there is not perfect harmony on everything. We can deal with this. I can deal with this. So you want to be able to think more rationally, strive for flexible preferences, anti-awfulizing. You want to increase the frustration tolerance, and eliminate the downing and increase self-acceptance, other acceptance, and life acceptance. That is the E, and of course the F is switching to hopefully a more functional, healthy, negative emotion. I'll stop there and ask what questions you have, and that concludes the content of the presentation.
Hello?
Yes.
Irma?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
You.
Okay. How might medicine or diagnosis or government services negatively affect healthy outcome? It's kind of a complex question, but I was thinking about those things.
Well, I think it depends on the skills of the therapist in being able to apply the model within whatever context you find yourself employed or from which the client might come.
Let's say that a client says that, for instance, just an example, they can't work because they're on this certain government, program. How would you handle that?
I don't know. I have both B and D.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I think you said the question is, if a client is on a specific government program and says they cannot work, how would I handle that?
Yeah, or they can't function in this area or that area when, their thoughts are holding them back. How would that government service relate to, now I'm thankful for the government service we have, but how could it be negative to that person's being more healthy?
Again, that is the situation, and the focus, according to REBT, is on the belief system. So you would want to really try to identify what the client is telling him or herself about being in that situation. what are the feelings that the client is experiencing, what are the emotions. You want to identify those that seem to be so disturbing that the client does not think he or she can function in that environment, and then what are the core beliefs, the musts. What is the client saying that reflect demandingness that prohibits him or her from working in that situation? Take the emphasis off the practical solution about context and focus in on the emotional disturbance that the client presents and the thoughts that seem to fuel, sustain that emotional and behavioral disturbance.
Okay, thank you.
Irma, we've had a couple of questions come in via chat. Can I read those to you?
Yes, please.
This is from Andrea in Atlanta. Please ask Dr. Ballinger to explain the process and or difference between emotional solution and practical solution. Does one lead to the other?
Basically, REBT holds that the disturbance is around the emotional solution being stuck in unhealthy emotions and unhealthy or unhelpful behavioral responses that emanate from the way a person thinks. The environment may be, or situation may be hugely problematic. Problems in a relationship, but unless the other party wants to be a part of the helping and treatment process, there's not a lot you can do about the practical solution of working on that marriage until you deal with, or the relationship, until you deal with that individual that is before you, the emotional stuckness, unhealthy, negative emotion, and the demandingness that fuels that emotion and those behaviors. That, according to OCC, needs to change. And then when the person is able to think differently and is less emotionally distressed and disturbed, that person can be helped to figure out how to resolve a practical situation.
Thanks, Irma. One more question from the chat. Can we do that? And that'll be the last question of the day.
That's fine.
Andrea also asked, could you please explain the difference between Socratic and non-Socratic questioning?
Well, the Socratic questioning is intended to help the person to think in some kind of logical, systematic way that pulls looking for evidence, realistic evidence, to refute the idea or the belief. So you're looking for rational responses that are based on evidence.
Terrific. Well, Irma, I think we're short on time. Were there any last pithy words that you'd like to add to close this out? And then I have a few housekeeping to end with.
Okay. I just find the model to be very heuristic, very helpful. It is an orderly, systematic approach to dealing with some very complicated problems. It empowers the client. The work in therapy is highly transferable when the client is not in therapy, and I'm just really excited about the it has.
Great. Irma, thank you so much for your excellent presentation today, and to all of you for your participation in today's session.
Thank you for joining us today for NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. We hope you found today's session useful and that it will support your efforts to thoughtfully integrate Christian faith and social work practice. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW's activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops that we offer at no cost to NACSW members, and which includes free CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, our online continuing education program, and access to dozens of archived podcasts from the members section of our website. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in today to our podcast session today.